I want you to open your Bible tonight, please, to Psalm 19. I'd like to preach for about 20 minutes tonight. I'm not going to do that. I'd just like to do that. But I'm not going to do that, but I'd like to do that. But I want to share something with you tonight I trust will be a blessing to you. This is a great psalm, absolutely great psalm. And I want to read the whole thing to you just so you see its flow and you get the gist of what David is saying here in this psalm. It's a tremendous 14 verses, and you follow along in your Bible as I read it, please. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. He is going forth, or his going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Aren't those sweet words? Look, go back now, please, to verse 7. And I want you to notice the synonyms that are given here for the Bible. Notice the synonyms. We have the law. We have the testimony. We have the statutes. We have the commandment. We have the fear. And we have the judgments. And all of these are synonyms for the Bible. So what David is doing in verse 7 through verse 10 or verse 11 is he is giving us a little treatise on the Word of God. He's given us just a little statement of fact about the Bible. And I want to speak to you tonight specifically on verse 8, where David said, "The statutes of the Lord are right." I was thinking this afternoon as I was coming in to church that there are three things, basically, I think three things. I was trying to summarize it to get it in my own mind just exactly how I feel. And there are three basic things that as your pastor I would like to accomplish. Three things I'd like to do for you as your pastor. Number one, I would like to be able to so teach you the Word of God and preach to you the Bible so that I take away your fear of death. I really mean that. I don't think you ought to fear death. It is appointed unto man once to die. I got news for you. If Jesus tarries his coming, bless your little old heart, you're going to die. Now, you're just going to die. And I run into so many people that are fearful of death. And if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, death is not a bad exchange. To be absent in the body and to be present with the Lord. And I have through the years tried to preach heaven so sweet and tried to preach Jesus so wonderful and tried to preach the streets of gold and the walls of jasper and the gates of pearl and all the wonderful things that heaven has for us. I hope that there is no fear of death in your heart. A second thing I want you to do and that I want to try and instill within you, I want you I want to stir a love in your heart for the Bible. Folks, the Bible is the Word of God. If I didn't believe that, I would go get me a real job tomorrow. I mean that. If I did not believe from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, if I did not believe that this book is the inspired, preserved Word of God Almighty, I would go tonight. I would stop tonight, right now, resign, and I'd never preach again. I do not understand people criticizing the Bible. I just do not understand that. I think that modern scholarship has so deceived people, and we think that some guy with a PhD behind his name knows more than the Holy Spirit knows, and that just burns my heart. I believe the Bible to be the Word of God. You are never going to hear me stand up here and criticize the Bible. I believe that it's the Word of God. It's the foundation. It's the benchmark. And if you don't believe the Bible is the Word of God, you cannot be happy as a Christian. You just can't. You just can't. I have in the last 10 years spent so much time trying to straighten out college students who go off to college and have some PhD tell them that there's errors in the Bible. No, there's not. And well, there's errors in the Bible. Find me one. Just find me one. You're not going to find it. God's Word is God's Word. Case closed. Number three. I'll get to the sermon in a minute. Hold on. This is the sermon before the sermon. But I was just thinking on the way in. Number three, I want to instill within you a love for the Lord and a love for one another. Do you love the Lord tonight? Do you love your brethren tonight? Oh, there's not a perfect one of us in this room, but we ought to love one another. This is our church family. Thank God for it. Oh, listen, we're not perfect, but I'll guarantee you there's some of the finest Christians on the East Coast sitting right here in this room tonight. And thank God for the church, the open door. So let me work on number two here with you tonight and stir up a love for the Word of God with you. Number one was to take away your fear of death. Number two, to stir up a love in your heart for the Bible. And number three, to love the Lord and love one another. So let me work on this second feature with you tonight. And I want to speak to you on this subject. The statutes of the Lord are right. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that we have a Bible that is right. Lord, thank you that we have a Bible we can trust. And Lord, I pray that you will help me tonight as I speak. I want to be a blessing. I want to help folks. And Lord, I want to encourage folks. And Lord, I want to stir within the heart of my people tonight. I want to stir in their hearts a love for the Word of God. Father, help us to realize what we have. When we open up the Bible, we are opening up the mind of God. Lord, help us to know your mind. Give us a love for your Word. And Lord, I pray that you will just bless in a mighty way as I speak. And Lord, I pray that you'll give ears to hear to every person. So do your work in our midst here tonight. And Lord, may we leave here tonight rejoicing and more confident than we've ever been before that the Bible is the Word of God. So bless us now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Have you ever noticed that old books soon go out of date? You ever notice that? I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but whenever someone sits down to write a book, they discuss issues that are pertinent for the day and for the hour. But as time goes by, the material that they have written loses its punch and it loses its impact and it is simply no longer relevant. One thing about our society is the fact that there is no end to knowledge. That's what Daniel said. If you'll remember, he prophesied this day would come, the day in which we're living, when there would be no end to knowledge. It's amazing when you think of the great philosophers who 1,000, 2,000, 2,500 years ago sat down and wrote their thoughts and wrote their understanding of things, and their ideas were put on parchment or put on paper, and they were ideas that they hoped would change the world. And now today, here we are in 2006, and outside of the world of academia, does anyone care one whit about what these ancient philosophers had to say? Outside of academia. Now let me ask you, when was the last time you went down to the bookstore and bought a copy of Plato and came home and sat down and said, "Don't anybody bother me, I've got some reading to do"? No. When was the last time you went to the library and checked out Pythagoras and said, "I just can't wait to dive into this"? No, no. The truth is, books are just like all of us. They have a time to be born, and then they are fondled and cared for, and then for a while they are admired and viewed, but then they grow old and eventually fade off the scene and die away. Now, folks, don't get me wrong. I am not attacking the world's literature tonight, but when you think about it, libraries are nothing more than cemeteries for dead books. You say, "Well, boy, that just puts it right down." Yes, but it's true. Libraries are nothing more than cemeteries for dead books. There are multitudes upon multitudes of printed pages that sit upon the shelves all over the world in libraries, personal and those that were built for that purpose. And no one goes to open the pages and read what the author at the time thought the world needed to hear and needed to know. But all that I just said is not true of one book. I want you to think about this book is not a dead book. It's a living book. And Paul said it was. We are taught that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It started in the world's infancy. It grew under theocracy and monarchy. It withstood and has withstood the storms of fire. This book came from the prophet's mantle and out from under the fisherman's cloak. It rose out of the dust and out of the ashes of Rome and Ephesus and Corinth and Jerusalem and the Isle of Patmos. Brutal tyrants have issued edicts against it, and infidels have railed against it since its beginning. False religion has stood in its face and sought to destroy it from the face of the earth. But this blessed old book still lives on. The Bible still stands. We still have the Bible today, and the Bible still does its work today. It crossed the English Channel and was greeted by Wycliffe and James the First. It then crossed the Atlantic and it struck Plymouth Rock like Moses striking the rock in the wilderness with his staff, and out of it has poured a refreshing blessedness that only history can explain. Sunday after Sunday, since America was founded, men of God have stood and they've taken this same blessed old book that we use today, and they have stood behind pulpits and they have preached its truths. Under the preaching of this book for centuries now, there has been a freedom that has been given to man. Men have been freed from sin. Men have been freed from chains. Men have been freed from tyranny. Under the preaching and teaching of this book, lives have been changed. I don't know about you, but it was under the preaching and teaching of this book that my life was changed. And it's still changing lives today. May I remind you that it is under the preaching of this book that joy has been found where men were ready to end it all. It has been this book that has brought joy that can only come from God giving His joy to a heart that has been washed in the blood of the testimony of this book. But folks, understand that with all that has been accomplished with this book, there is still an awful lot that is yet to be accomplished. That's another thing I wish I could just get across to your mind and get you to realize that yes, there's been prophecy and yes, there has been the men of God that have stood and said this is going to happen and that's going to happen. And while a lot of the prophecy has already taken place, there is still an awful lot of prophecy that is yet to take place. And this book will not have accomplished its mission until it has spread around the globe and until all thrones are gathered into one throne and the world bows before the one who is the book incarnate. And once the Lord Jesus sits upon the throne of the world in His lap as a manual of righteousness, will be this blessed old book right here. This book is what's going to govern through the millennium. May I remind you, the Lord Jesus said Himself, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Now look at the 8th verse, please, of our text. The statutes of the Lord are right. What are statutes? Well, statutes are testimonies, verse 7. Statutes are law, verse 7. Statutes are commandments, verse 8. In other words, a statute is a law. It is a saying. It is a declaration. It is a commandment. It is the words of the Lord. What does it say? It says that the statutes of the Lord are right. Folks, this is said as a declaration of fact. This is not skepticism. This is not, well, it could be. No, this is David, the psalmist, telling us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that the statutes of the Lord are right. There is no debate. There is no discussion. Just point of fact, God's word is right. I remind you that Paul said, let God be true and every man a liar. There is no debate. Notice with me a few things tonight. First of all, I want to suggest to you that the Bible is right in its authentication. The Bible is right in its authentication. Can we dare, would we dare to doubt the authenticity of the Scriptures? Dear friend, I don't know if you've thought it through this far or if you realize it, but there is not as much evidence that Shakespeare wrote Hamlet or that John Milton wrote Paradise Lost or that Mark Twain wrote Huckleberry Finn as there is evidence that the Lord God Almighty, through human hands, the human hands of the prophets and the evangelists and the apostles, wrote the Bible, the Word of God. You say, well, how do you know the Bible's true? I believe the Bible is true the same way I believe God to be true. I believe it by faith. I was not there when the Bible was penned, but I do have a penned Bible. I believe that the Word of God is the Word of God because God tells me that it is. I was not there when God created the heavens and the earth, but I believe He did it. I was not there when the children of Israel walked across the Red Sea when God parted the waters and they marched across on dry ground, but I believe they did it. I was not there when Jesus hung on Calvary's cross and cried, "It is finished," but I believe that He died on Calvary's cross. And folks, I believe that when God's Word says that this is God's Word, that this is God's Word. I'm just going to believe God and not some professor somewhere. I believe the Bible to be the inspired, true, preserved Word of God. He said, well, why do you believe it? Well, I'll tell you one reason I believe it. It's because I have stood and preached it for almost 30 years now, and I've seen what it does to the hearts of those that hear it and follow its commandments. I've seen it. I've seen it. I've seen the drunkard saved. I've seen the drug addict saved. I've seen the captive set free. I've seen the sinner broken and his life turned around. Let me tell you something, folks. If there was an outbreak of some kind, some horrible disease that spread across the world, and if people were dying on the left and on the right, but some drug manufacturer said, wait a minute, we have a cure for that. Why, we made a medication for this a long time ago, and all you have to do is just take one of these pills and everything will be all right. So they sent the cure out to every hospital. They sent it out to every church. They sent it out to every community center. They sent it out to every health department. And it cost you 50 cents to buy one of the pills. And they said, if you'll just get the cure, you'll live. You won't have to die. I guarantee you that every one of us would be standing in a line somewhere before 8:30 tonight. Of course we would. Well, folks, I want you to know that right here is the cure for the disease that is plaguing each and every heart in this world. This book is the one that has the cure, and all you've got to do is just read it and listen to it. God's cure is in here, and you can trust it because the statutes of the Lord are right. You can trust it. You see, God's authoritative book is able to help you if you'll only let it help you. Will you take the evidence of the multitudes that are in this room tonight who will agree with every word I'm saying, or will you take the evidence of some skeptic who stands aloof and confesses that he's never taken the medicine? Not long ago, I got into a conversation with a guy on an airplane. He told me he was saved. But I got into a conversation with a guy on an airplane. He said, well, just exactly what do you believe? And I said, well, I don't have time between now and when this plane lands to tell you everything I believe. I said, but I can tell you that there's a foundation upon which I stand, and it's called the Word of God. I believe the Bible to be the Word of God. He said, well, isn't there errors in that Bible? I said, no, sir. Somebody told you that. He said, well, yeah, that's true. Somebody told me that. I said, let me ask you a question. Have you ever read the Bible? Well, that shut that argument down right there. If you've never read the Bible, don't sit around and criticize and say there's errors in the Bible. Folks, I'm telling you, that's what's wrong with us, is we've listened to a bunch of folks through the years that have never taken the medicine. Amen. You see, someone who has never taken the medicine of God's Word really, it doesn't have any business talking about it. Oh, but they don't mind standing back and being critical of those of us who have taken the medicine and say, we're a bunch of nuts for believing that. Well, then I'm just a nut. I mean, I've known that for years. But folks, wait a minute. This nut stands before you today at peace that he's going to heaven when he dies. This nut stands before you today with a joy in his heart that I simply cannot explain to you. This nut stands before you today with a purpose that I cannot put into words. I remember years ago when I told everybody I was going to be a pastor, I was going to be a preacher. I mean, I had several people that said, well, why do you want to do that? Why do you want to do that? I remember Karen's grandfather looking at me one time and saying, why do you want a pastor? And nodding his head. And I tried to tell him, Leroy, it's because God called me. And he just standing there and shake his head. He couldn't believe it. Karen's sister, her older sister, has for years asked me, what are you going to be when you grow up? How do you explain that? I tell you how you explain it. This book is true. The statutes of it are right. I can't put it into words to you. I stand here today before you with full assurance that if something happens to me, I'm going to heaven, where I'm going to live forever and ever. You say, well, do you ever doubt that? No. Because the statutes of the Lord are right. So let me ask you, Mr. Scoffer, do you have that peace? Let me ask you, Mr. Scoffer, is there joy unspeakable and full of glory in your life? Let me ask you, is heaven getting sweeter as the days go by? I'm in a room full of people tonight who would on a moment's notice stand up and testify to the statutes of the Lord that they're right. They would stand up and testify to the goodness of the Lord. They would stand up and testify because they've read the book and they know that the statutes of the Lord are right. They can feel it in their hearts. And it's brought peace to the soul. There's something else I want you to think about. You know, history has proven the statutes of the Lord are right. I don't have time tonight. I could spend tonight and tomorrow. I could spend every night this week if you'd come back from 7 to 9 o'clock. And I could just give you example after example after example of how history has proven the statutes of the Lord are right. You know, history has proven, archaeology has proven the Bible to be, the statutes of the Lord to be right. The Bible said that the walls of Jericho fell in and that they burned the city. And they said, the walls couldn't have fallen in. And they went over there and got to digging around. They dug it up. And you know what? Those walls fell in. And did you know there's a layer of ash on those walls? Amazing. Absolutely amazing. The Bible talks about this place called Petra, where the Jews are going to flee during the tribulation period and God's going to protect them. And they said, Petra? Well, nobody's ever heard of that. Well, we don't know anything about any Petra. Well, that the Bible can't be true. Well, there's no such place as Petra. And lo and behold, these two fellows, a guy by the name of Buckhart and another co-laborer of his named Laborde, they just decided they were going to go try and find Petra, and they went looking for the ancient red rock city, and they found this little opening in the rock, and they walked through it, and they went down, and they said, man, this seems to be going nowhere fast, and then all of a sudden, poof, there they were, standing in the ruins of Petra, the ancient red rock city. Temples built into the side of the wall, houses built into the side, 6 mile long street, and there they were standing in Petra. Don't argue with the Bible, folks. Statutes of the Lord are right. It's what God said. God said there was a place called Petra, and sure enough, there was. People have tried to tear Jonah apart. Man, they don't like Jonah. They just don't like Jonah. Can't be true. Just can't be true, this Jonah thing. Nineveh. 3 days journey around Nineveh. And they said, that just can't be right. Why, there's never a city that big built back in those days. And so these four guys, this fellow by the name of Layard, and another by the name of Bata, another one by the name of Benomi, and another by the name of Keith, went to Iraq's desert back in the 1800s and started looking for Nineveh. And they found it. And so they got to digging around in the city, and they said, we're going to present our findings. So they put everything that they found in a book, and the world waited to hear their assessment of its size. And the men reported that it was 3 days' journey to walk around the wall of that great city. Someone said, well, you know, maybe the Bible is, maybe Jonah should be in the Bible. You think? Of course it should be. God put it there. Who are you going to believe? Who's right? The infidel or the Bible? And every time, the Bible has shown itself to be right. Oh, I could go on and on and on, folks. You remember reading about the Hittites back in Genesis? And they jumped up. Boy, no such thing. Hittites? Well, we can't find Hittites anywhere. And when they started writing all their books about there's no such people as the Hittites, God just laid it on the heart of some guy to go over somewhere and dig, and he went over and uncovered the whole Hittite civilization. The whole civilization. And these guys had egg on their face once again. Who are you going to believe, folks? The infidels or the Bible? You see, the statutes of the Lord are right. You say, well, there's things here I don't understand. That's exactly right. That doesn't mean that it's not so. It's just things you don't yet understand. Second thing I want you to see, not only is the Bible right in its authentication, but secondly, the Bible is right in its effects. Now, folks, I don't care who you are. You can find in the Bible what you need for your soul. You can find what you need. How many a troubled soul has come to the Word of God and found comfort through the years? How many a sin-sick soul has come to the Word of God and found the joy of salvation? How many a broken heart has had the Word of God wipe away the tears? Folks, I wish I could convey to you just how many times in the almost 30 years now that I've been preaching that I've seen this Bible do its job. I wish I could tell you. I wish I could tell you about all the funeral services I've done. I wish I could tell you. I would never want to go to a funeral without taking a Bible. I just wouldn't want to do it. I've seen folks weeping and so broken and so hurting with just wave after wave of grief bearing down upon their soul. But then to stand up in front of them and take a Bible and read from the Word of God. And it's almost like you can just see it going over their souls and washing away the pain and the hurt. How else can you explain that except the statutes of the Lord are right? Folks, there is nothing that soothes the heart like the statutes of God. Are you hurting today? Go to the book. Are you grieving today? Go to the book. Are you discouraged today? Go to the book. Are you distraught? Go to the book. Are you brokenhearted or beaten down? Christian, listen, just go to the book and watch the powerful effect that it brings to your heart. You see, our problems today in our churches, our problems today in our homes, and our problems today in our land stem from Bible problems. Bible problems. Our problems today in America stem from our drifting away from the book. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but I'm telling you what's wrong with our education system in America is simply that we have removed the Bible from the classroom. We have taken the Bible out of the curriculum. If you educate only a man's head, you're going to make him an infidel. If you educate only a man's heart, you're going to make him a fanatic. But you educate both simultaneously together with the Word of God, and you're going to have the noblest work of God. An educated man without moral principles is a ship without a helm. It's a rushing train without brakes. But you put the Bible in the home. You put the Bible on the table. You train a child in the way he should go, and in the fear of God and with the statutes of the Lord that are right, and you will get a whole different kind of individual. I've seen parents that have raised their children around the Word of God and raised them in church, and I've seen those children turn out right. Then I've seen those parents that said, here, and they handed them the latest CD of the day. I've seen them say, here, go ahead and listen to this. Well, Mom, I want to listen to this. I want to listen to that. And you just let them do it. And you're feeding the wrong information. It's the statutes of the Lord that are right, not Britney Spears or any of the rest of them. It's the statutes of the Lord that are right. Folks, we got to get our kids back in the book. We got to get them back in the Bible. Put the Bible in the home. Put the Bible on the table. Put the Bible in the bedroom. Put the Bible wherever they are. Let it be frontlets for their eyes. Let it be everywhere they look and they're reminded that the statutes of the Lord are right. And then I want to say one more thing, and that's this. Folks, you listen to me now. The Bible will stand when everything else has crumbled and fallen. Now, you mark it down. I don't know how many college kids over the last 10, 15 years. I don't know how many college kids I've stood there and just wagged my head and said, oh, my, what a shame. Because they go off to some Bible college or some quasi-Bible college, and they get told that the Bible is full of errors and it's not really the Word of God, and that there's parts of it you can't trust, and they come home doubting the Bible. Well, let me tell you something, folks. One of these days, our thinking on the Bible is going to get straightened out. Don't wait until God straightens it out for you. Don't wait until you stand at the judgment seat of Christ and you have the Lord standing there with the Bible in His hand and saying, "You mean to tell me you believe that idiot professor? You mean to tell me you believe that guy?" Folks, listen, if you were the devil, would you not muddy the water at the source? Huh? What is wrong with us? Man, I can remember years ago. I mean, I can remember even before I was saved. I can remember my grandfather sitting there who could not even read the newspaper, but he could read the Bible. Had a fourth grade education. He would grab me and pull me over and sit me down and say, "Listen to this." And he'd read me something out of the Bible. "What do you think of that, son?" I said, "Well, that's pretty good." He said, "No, this is God's Word. You better listen to this. Let me read it to you again." I can remember my mom saying to me, "The Bible is God's Word. Now, believe that." "Yes, ma'am, I believe that. Of course I do. I've never doubted the Bible's the Word of God. Never." I said, "Why?" "Because Mom told me that the Bible." I believe my mom. My mom wasn't going to lie to me. But that old professor, now he'll lie to you. Because you see, there is a pride element involved there. He knows something nobody else knows. And he knows that the Bible is not really the Word of God. Why, the Bible just contains the Word of God. All baloney. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. And the Bible is going to stand when everything else is crumbled. You see, folks, there is coming a day when the Lord Jesus, I preached about it this morning, is going to step out of heaven. He's going to rapture the saints. He's going to take us all to be home with Him. Then we're going to be there for 7 years. And when that 7 years is over, we're coming back down here. We're coming back down here. Jesus is going to come back and He's going to take by force the throne of David. And He's going to rule and reign the world. And Revelation tells us, remember this, that when He comes back, He's got the sword proceeding out of His mouth. Wonder what that is. You better get straightened out that this is the book. You better get straightened out on it, because this is what's going to be coming out of His mouth when He comes back. The Word of God. The Word of God. Revelation tells us the sword proceeds out of His mouth. Folks, for as long as eternity rolls, the statutes of the Lord will be right. Jesus is the living Word. The Bible is the written Word. Both are as eternal as God Himself. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And when Jesus sits down upon the throne to begin the millennium, this massive worldwide man-made church that the devil has been building for all these years, this mystery Babylon, it's all going to crumble. This massive man-made political one-world government will crumble and fall. And King Jesus will sit down on the throne of David, and He's going to put the whole world back together again. And in His lap will be the book. And the book will be the constitution and bylaws by which He will govern for 1,000 years. And for all eternity, the world is going to be governed by the Lamb of God. And the Word of God, the Word of the Lord, will stand true. And the reason is because of what we have right here in our text. The statutes of the Lord are right. If something's right, you don't have to change it. It's right. And that's why Jesus said that heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. Folks, you can trust your Bible. Oh, that we would love our Bibles, that we would read it and cherish it and memorize it and meditate upon it and study it and learn it and obey it. It may be that there comes a day in your life when all you have is a Bible to give comfort to your soul. But if that day comes, I promise you that's all you'll need. There may be a day when your children are gone and you're by yourself. There may be a day when your spouse is gone and you're by yourself. But you're not really by yourself as long as you've got a Bible. Love it, my friend. Learn to love it. There's no one else that can give you the encouragement that you need any better than what your Bible will give you. How precious is the book divine by inspiration given. Bright as a lamp, its doctrines shine to guide our souls to heaven. This lamp, through all the tedious night of life, shall guide our way till we behold the clear light of an eternal day. What a wonderful book we have. May God bless the Word of God to our hearts tonight. Let's pray. Well, our Father, we thank You for our Bibles. And Lord, we thank You that You did not leave us here without Your Word. And Lord, You said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And Lord, if this book is not the Bible, then we better do something and get it. But Lord, I'm convinced that it is. I've read the history of the church, and I know what the Bible has done. And Lord, I've been preaching it now for 29 years, and I know what the Bible has done. And Lord Jesus, I pray that You'll help us to quit doubting and to quit being critical and to quit tearing it apart. And Lord, to quit trying to find fault. Lord, help us just to believe that Your Word is true. The statutes of the Lord are right. And Lord, give us a love for the Bible. Lord, I'm standing here tonight in front of a lot of people, many of them who are going through storms and trials and heartache and difficulty, many who are hurting because of a lost loved one, many who are hurting because of physical difficulty, some that are broken because of loneliness. Lord, there are more problems than any of us would even care to imagine sitting right here. But Lord, Your Word is true. And Your statutes are right. And Lord, they rejoice the soul. And Lord, they help us to stand and to keep on keeping on. And Lord, they give us eternal promise. So Father, help us to get in the book and to love it and to learn it and to meditate upon it, study it, and search it. And Lord, make the book such an integral part of our everyday lives. Lord, we love You. Thank You for loving us. Now bless and touch our hearts with your truth in Jesus' name. Our heads bowed, our eyes closed. How many of you here tonight will say, Pastor, God's dealing with my heart tonight. God's speaking to my heart tonight. Pastor, I need to get in my Bible. I need to get in my Bible. God's dealing with me about it right now. Pray for me, Pastor. Would you slip your hand up all over this building and let's pray about this together. Pastor, I need to read my Bible. I need to spend time in it. Oh, it's so easy to get involved in everything and not get in the book like we should. Anybody else? Pastor, pray for me. God's dealing with me. Yes, many hands. God bless you, folks. I see your hands. Thank you. All right, yes, God bless you. Now, Father, speak to our hearts tonight. Oh, dear Lord, help us to have a revival for the Word of God in our hearts tonight. Lord, as we realize the statutes of the Lord are right, Help us, dear God, I pray. Oh, Lord, do something in our midst here this evening. And we'll thank you. Bless all these folks that raised their hand. And, Lord, those that should have raised their hand, you know our hearts, Lord, better than we even could imagine. So, Lord, do your work now and draw us close to yourself in Jesus' name. Amen.